thank you for listening to this sermon from Hope Church, Toronto West. It is our prayer that through these audio sermons, you are challenged and transformed by the Word of God, built up in love and faith, and drawn more to the person and work of Jesus Christ. We want to remind you that these online resources are never meant to be a substitute for God's good plan for you to be present, connected, and serving in a local church under the care of qualified elders. If you live in the West Toronto area and are looking for a local church, we encourage you to come check out one of our Sunday services. Now, as you prepare your heart to receive God's word, we pray that His Spirit would use the sermon powerfully in your life.
Father, we love you and we thank you for your presence in us and among us. And we thank you for your word and your truth. Oh God, we pray that you would use your word to penetrate and pierce our hearts, to bring conviction, to bring joy, to bring peace, to bring change, to bring obedience, to bring greater humility, to bring greater prayer. I pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Okay, well, I'm going to start today by saying this, that if we don't feel the urgency in these days to tend to our hearts, then I don't know that we ever will. If we don't feel the urgency to tend to our hearts in these days, then I don't know that we ever will. These are days that are marked by a spiritual strength that is weakening amongst many, many Christians. These are days that we're living in right now that are marked by a spiritual perspective that's completely missing. And these are days that we're living in right now that are marked by a spiritual renewal that is so, so needed. We're living in days of failing hearts. As a pastor, I'm just telling you what I'm observing amongst many people. We're living in days of failing hearts, and so many Christians are simply sitting back and allowing it to happen to themselves. Hearts are failing, and many are sitting back and letting it happen. Leonard Ravenhill said this. I want you to listen to this. He said, "No man is greater than his prayer life. The pastor who is not praying is playing. The people who are not praying are straying. We have many organizers, but few agonizers. Many players and payers, few prayers. Many singers, few clingers. Lots of pastors, few wrestlers. Many fears, few tears. Much fashion, little passion. Many interferers, few intercessors. Many writers, but few fighters," he says. "Failing here, we fail everywhere." Failing here in prayer, we fail everywhere. And so in the short time we have together today, I want to give us a biblical vision of a life that is empowered, a heart that is strong, a heart that is healthy in prayer. And so today we jump into habit number 3 of a growing faith in our series, Healthy Heart. The title of today's message is this: A Heart Empowered Prayer. And so I want you to take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, we're going to go to verses 1 to 4 and then jump to verses 9 to 10. There's so much in this passage. I wish I had time to go through every single verse, but I just don't have time. So we're going to take what we can grab from God's word today, and I trust it's going to strengthen us. Luke chapter 11, 1 to 4, and then jumping to 9 and 10 says this. "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples.' And he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. Jump down to verse 9. Jesus goes on, and I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. So we're going to take some truth from these verses of scripture. This is where we're going to start. The healthy heart is empowered because it understands a few things. Number one, it understands the priority in prayer that he is worthy. He is worthy. The priority in prayer, he is worthy. Notice verse 2, it says, and he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Now here Jesus is laying out for us a model for prayer. And in doing so, he begins with the highest priority of prayer. What's the priority that we need to understand? It's this, that whatever you say to God in prayer, understand this, that the one that we are seeking is worthy to be sought. Jesus says, pray this way, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Now, to hallow means to make holy or sacred, to sanctify or to consecrate. So the prayer can go like this, Father, let your name be kept holy. Or see to it that your name is worshiped and honored and revered. See to it that everyone understands how worthy you are. Father, see to it that your kingdom, your rule, your influence spreads far and wide. The basic premise of the prayer is this, that prayer at its core is not ultimately about us. That prayer at its core, the very essence of prayer, is that it is supremely about the worship of God. The hallowing of his name, the fearing of his name, the worshiping of his name, the desire to see his kingdom and his purpose and his rule advance. And the renewal that we need today, all of us, the renewal that we need comes through this basic understanding and practice that as I worship God, and as I focus on the character of God and the goodness of God, as I pursue the purposes of God in love for God, that's when I am most blessed. That's when I am most empowered. That's when I am most changed and transformed in prayer. And so part of the reason prayer malfunctions in the lives of so many Christians is because without this theological framework, our default is to make prayer all about us. That the priority of our praying is about us. And if we become the main content of our praying, prayer loses its glory. Prayer loses its passion because we are not compelling enough. And prayer without a glorious, powerful, and sovereign and miracle-working God at its center can never endure. What gives prayer its glory, what gives us inspiration, what transforms us in prayer is that God is at the center of it all. And so Daniel Henderson said something that I will never forget and never stop striving to apply to my life. He said this, the only enduring motivation for prayer, you want to know what it is? He says, the only enduring motivation for prayer is that God is worthy to be sought. Father, hallowed be your name. I come to you with the understanding and the acknowledgement that you are supremely worthy to be sought. So why should we get up in the morning to pray? Not because we necessarily feel like it all the time, but because God is worthy to be sought. Why should we commit ourselves to the prayer meeting and to the prayer week coming up and to prayer for our community and for one another? Not because we just have lots of time on our hands to spend. All right, I'll just go to a prayer meeting. I'll go to prayer week. That's not enough to sustain prayer. No. We commit ourselves to the prayer meeting, to prayer week, to prayer for one another, prayer for the community, because God is worthy to be sought. That's enough. That's enough to get me up to pray. That's enough to get me out of my house to join with other people to pray. That's enough to get me on the phone with someone to pray. That's enough to get me on FaceTime or Zoom to pray with someone. That's enough for me to sit down with my wife and my family and pray. That's enough that God is worthy to be sought. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. So the healthy heart is empowered because it understands the priority in prayer. And this is the foundations upon which we need to begin, that he is worthy, worthy to be sought. Secondly, this, the healthy heart is empowered because it understands, you can write this down, the provision through prayer, that I am needy. Not only the priority in prayer that he is worthy, but the provision through prayer that I'm needy. Jesus goes on in verses 3 and 4. Notice it. He says, pray like this. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. Interesting to note, in both Matthew and Luke's account of the Lord's Prayer, we find a fascinating, important delineation being made that prayer is broken up into two main sections in both accounts, and it's a model for prayer. The first section is centered on the worthiness of God, the glory of God, the greatness of God, but the second section is focused on the neediness of man. And so we find two amazing realities in this model for prayer, in this delineation, that yes, God is worthy to be sought, that all that our hearts need are found in seeking him, but also, listen to me now, also that this worthy God actually cares about our needs. That he is transcendent. Hallowed be your name. Worthy to be sought. But he is imminent and near and personal. And he loves to provide for our needs. And many of you would know about George Mueller. I've talked about him often, and I probably shared this story a million times. But if there's even one person in our church that hasn't heard this, I want to share this again. George Mueller is best known for the orphanages that he opened in Bristol, England. Through his orphanages in Bristol, Mueller cared for as many as 2,000 orphans at one time, more than 10,000 in his lifetime. And in a fascinating way, in an inspiring way, in a way that's almost hard to believe, George Mueller depended on God's provision every single day, and found God to be faithful to provide for his needs. One biography recounts a remarkable story. I'm going to read it for you. It said this, one morning Mueller walked into the dining room where bowls and cups were on the table, but no food and no money to buy food. Mueller said to the children, come see what our Father in heaven will do for us today. All the children stood respectfully behind their seats, waiting for breakfast to begin. Children, it will soon be time for school. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for what you are going to give us to eat. Just then, a knock sounded at the door. There stood the local baker. Mr. Mueller, I couldn't sleep last night. Somehow I felt you didn't have bread for breakfast and the Lord wanted me to send you some. So I got up at 2 o'clock in the morning and baked some fresh bread for you. Mueller thanked the baker and praised God for his specific care. He said, we not only have bread, but God has given us fresh bread. Right away, there came a second knock at the door. This time it was the milkman who announced that his cart had broken down outside the orphanage. I must empty my wagon before I can repair it. Could the children use my jars of fresh milk? There before their eyes, they saw God provide fresh bread and milk for the children. Almost hard to believe, but it's a true story. That God is not only a worthy God to be sought, but He's near and He cares about providing for our needs. It's amazing to me in verse 3, Jesus teaches us to pray, give us, watch this, each day our what? Daily bread. The idea here is dependence and trust in God to provide just what we need for each day. Not a year in advance, not months in advance, not even a week in advance. But Jesus teaches us to pray with faith for each day. Because He is not only worthy, but He loves to provide through prayer for your needs and for my needs. So let me just stop right here. And I don't know your needs. I know some of my needs. I don't know your needs, but you know your needs. Can I just tell you that God loves to provide for your needs? He loves to. So loved ones, I wonder how much blessing and provision and power we forfeit in our lives because we've neglected the discipline or the habit of prayer. The healthy heart is empowered because it understands the priority in prayer that God is worthy, but also the provision through prayer, because I am needy. Finally, this, the healthy heart is empowered because it understands, you can write this down, the promise of prayer. And I just wrote, ask, seek, knock. Jesus goes on in verses 9 to 10. Some of the most beautiful verses in all the Bible concerning prayer. If you just really consider what He is saying, I want you to notice it starting from verse 9. Jesus says, and I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Verse 10, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. Loved ones, here we have, don't miss it, a promise of prayer, a promise of answered prayer. He says, ask and you will receive. He says, seek and you will find. He says, knock and it will be opened. Now, some of us are thinking, I can ask for anything. I can ask for anything. I can seek anything. I can knock on the door for anything. Hold on. There is a condition. It's not in this text, but we find a condition. Jesus gives it to us in John chapter 15, 7. I want you to listen to what Jesus said in John 15, 7. He said this, listen, if, that's the condition, listen to me, if, it's a big if. If, remember, God loves to provide. God loves to give. But listen, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, watch this powerful promise. And he says, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Ask whatever you wish. Anything, Jesus? If you abide in me, if you're close to me, if my words abide in you. Remember what Puritan Thomas Manton said. He said, the word feedeth meditation, and meditation feedeth prayer. The reading of the Word of God feeds meditation upon the Word of God, and meditation works the Word of God into my heart, into my soul, into my desires, into my thinking, into my affections, into my actions, into my praying. So that if you abide in me, Jesus says, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and I will do it. So Jesus is not a genie in a bottle that we can rub. These verses are taken out of context all the time. Ask, seek, knock. Okay, Mercedes, BMW, big house. No. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. The promise of answered prayer is not for those who are intent on their own will and their own way. Because those who are intent on their own will and their own way have missed the goal and purpose of prayer to begin with. No. But there is, loved ones, a powerful promise of answered prayer for all who will delight in God's word in a way that fills them and forms their praying. Now, I may encourage you to know that George Mueller wasn't always a man of prayer and faith. He says that early in his ministry, he struggled to pray for even 5 minutes each day. Maybe you can relate to that. Maybe you're listening to this, you're like, man, I can't be that man of prayer. I can't be that woman of prayer. I can't imagine having the faith that George Mueller had. Well, let this encourage you. Early in his ministry, he struggled to pray for even 5 minutes each day, struggling through just for 5 minutes, until he began to study the example of George Whitefield, who made it his practice to daily pray on his knees, listen, with the Word of God open before him. Listen to what one biography said. He now began himself to read the Word of God upon his knees and often found for hours great blessing in meditation and prayer over a single psalm or chapter. Loved ones, our hearts don't have to fail in these days. Our hearts don't have to decline in sickness and disease, spiritually speaking, in these days. No, our hearts can be empowered, and our church can be empowered to do and see great things we've never known before. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me, God says, call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and hidden things, some translations say, great and unsearchable things you have not known. Call to me. This is the summons. Bible intake, meditation, prayer. This is the summons. This is the call for every single one of us. And if you're thinking to yourself, how do I begin? I'm just going to give you three things, trying in this series to be as practical as we can. Three things. First, we have to recognize that we must learn to pray. The disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray. And he didn't say, no, just come on, do it. Just, it's this spontaneous thing that just happens. No, he said, okay, I'm going to teach you. I got to teach you to pray. We have to learn to pray. So something very practical. As a church, we want to teach you to pray. And we want to teach you to pray God's word. There is a class coming up called Disciple Maker 103. And the focus of this class is praying the Bible. If you want to learn how to pray the Bible, if you want to know what that means, we want to teach you. And I encourage you to sign up for that class and we will teach you and you will learn to pray the Bible. Secondly, not only do we need to learn to pray, but we must actually pray. We must actually pray. And so we have an opportunity for that. We have a week of prayer coming up where we are going to actually pray God's word. We're going to lead you to pray God's word. We're going to gather together in gatherings of 10 multiple times in the week. And I'm praying and trusting and anticipating that they will be beautiful, transforming times of worship, meditation, and prayer that God will use in the life of our church and in the life of the people in this city that maybe today want nothing to do with God, but because of our prayers, will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We must actually pray. So let me pastor you, let me encourage you, let me exhort you. Sign up for a slot, not just one. Sign up for two or three. Let's fill up the slots of prayer week. There's not many slots. Let's fill up the slots. Why? Because God is worthy to be sought. And because he loves to provide for our needs. And because he gives us beautiful promises of answered prayer. Thirdly, not only do we need to learn to pray, not only do we need to actually pray, thirdly and finally, we must resolve in our hearts to continue to pray. To continue to pray. George Mueller said, the great fault of the children of God is they do not continue in prayer. They do not go on praying. They do not persevere. Isn't that your story sometimes? It's mine. I start to pray and I stop. I stop short of receiving the answer. I stop short of receiving and seeing the glory. I stop short of experiencing the transformation. For whatever reason, we must continue to pray. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, the exhortation Paul gives to the church at Colossae is continue steadfastly in prayer. Don't give up. Persevere. Continue in prayer. May we be a church that learns to pray, actually prays, and continues to persevere in prayer. Without the habit and the discipline of prayer, there is no healthy heart. Loved ones, your heart doesn't have to fail in these days. No, we can be strong. We can be empowered. The word feedeth meditation, meditation feedeth prayer. May it be so in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me pray. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would plant deeply in our hearts this vision for a life of prayer that is empowered, that is filled, that is satisfied, that has you as the supreme object of our worship, that comes to you as little children come to their father, knowing you love to provide for us, that comes to you asking and seeking and knocking, that comes to you with our Bibles open, praying your word, your will back to you, and experiencing, oh God, the powerful promise of answered prayer in our lives. Oh God, I pray, let it be so amongst the people of Hope Church, and let it bear fruit amongst the hundreds and thousands of people in our city. Only you can take a church that is set upon prayer and use this church to reach many with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We put no limits on you, but we understand you are limitless. So we come to our limitless God, and we will come in prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
For more resources and information about Hope Church Toronto West, please visit hopechurchtw.ca.